This is in Oneida South.
No, it's town of Oneida.
But the town of Oneida is requesting it.
Correct.
It is in Oneida South, is that not right?
Correct, I believe so.
And Oneida has Oneida, CCN in Oneida South.
Correct. I'm about to put up a map and you can kind of see, I think.
Is there any regulations that prevent people in Oneida South from drilling wells?
Within their city limits, I believe they do require permits. And with any application, before the application itself is approved, we require they provide us with that permit. So that's something that's not up for board consideration. Once the exception is, so if somebody applies for an exception, if the board approves the exception, then once they provide everything else that's required, then I can approve the application.
I think the question of where I'm going is, you're saying they're 500 feet to the CCN, and that's what we're considering the property line, but there are other properties that could drill wells of their own.
Correct.
That are within that.
Correct. And that will, and this will not impact them to their ability to drill a well. For two reasons, unless they're wanting to drill a big well, it may impact them, but I believe there's in our rules, we talk about bear with me, I'm trying to share the screen. I got it back up. In our rules, we talk about if we approve a well based on the CCN, then we don't take that in consideration if somebody's wanting to drill another well. Does that make sense, Shannon? Yeah, we have addressed that in the rules. So I know where you're going, but so let me get back to the PowerPoint. All right, so the next map shows the spacing from wells. As you can see, there's lots and lots of wells within the 1,750 feet. Most of those are shallow wells, so they meet the vertical offset requirement. There is a well to the southwest that is a deeper well. And then the property line, and it's not zoomed out very far, so you can't see, Shannon, but FM5 is the northern extent of the CCN for the town of Oneida. And one of the two wells is about 200 feet from that CCN boundary, whereas the requirement's 500 feet. So that's about the exceptions. They are requesting an exception for both wells. Now, as far as the operating permit goes, district rules describe an allocation under an operating permit, which is described as the average aquifer thickness multiplied by 500, multiplied by the acreage owned or controlled, in this case, a CCN boundary. However, we also have to deduct off the volumes associated with any other permits within the CCN boundary and the acreage associated with any registered wells. For this particular application, the applicant CCN is just over 7,000 acres with average aquifer thickness of 542 foot. They have requested 242 million gallons for an HUP. That's still pending. We deduct that off. They've got an existing operating permit for 35 million. We've deducted that off. There's another historic use permit application submitted by Gray Walls at Split Rails Golf Course for 125 million. We've deducted that off. And then I don't have the acreage listed on here, but we took off 726.567 acres for registered wells within the CCN, which comes to total possible allocation of $1.3 billion. Again, remember, that's the total that we describe under district rules. However, they're limited to a non-speculative demand. We had some problems with our impact tools in the cloud. We're actually working on that right now. Because of that, we weren't able to finish the model runs that you normally see for this. This is actually from the last time they applied. We ran the model. We ran the impact analysis there. So what you're seeing is basically very, very little impact to shallower wells and anywhere from 9 to 6, 9 feet of impact for deeper wells in the area. So there is some impact, but mostly to the Twin Mountains or the deeper formation in the area. The applicant has requested 70,080,000 gallons. Their current operating permit for the system is 35 million. This request is Their justification for the 70 million gallons is 280-gallon-minute wells pumping 83% of the time. Based on the applicant's reported use in 2021, all the wells in their system combined pumping about 25% of the time. I feel it's unlikely that any given year both of these wells are going to be pumping 83% of the time. We went back and looked at all their historic data. Most of the wells were between 10 and 20% of the time on an annual basis. They had one well in 2011 that was up around the 80%, but there was a lot going on with that system back then. But since then, no wells have pumped 80% of the time. So my thinking is that that's a little bit of on the speculative side of their request. Previously, their engineer had provided, thought I put it on here. Yep, right here. In 2018, when they initially applied for these wells, their engineer had stated that they could expect an annual pumping of 10 million from the shallow well and 16 million from the deeper well. They were assuming a 12-hour per day runtime. I figure it's fair to stick with something similar to what they mentioned the very first time they submitted these applications. And the plans for the subdivision these wells will be located in really hasn't changed as far as total number of lots since then. So that being said, my recommendation, and again, we've previously approved wells at these locations based on that and based on what I've gone over, my recommendation would be a motion to approve the amendment to the operating permit in the volume of 32 million gallons per year and approve the exceptions with the stipulation that they enter into an agreement for the ongoing measurement of water levels in these wells. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Board have any questions on this?
Go back to the map, please.
Which map, sir?
The northern well or the southern one?
Okay, on the right-hand side, where it says it's 500 feet, it's impacting nothing?
Two properties there are within the 500 feet of required spacing.
The CCN for Annetta has a donut hole, and that's what you're seeing there at the top of the right-hand side. It's part of Annetta South. It's just not in Annetta's CCN.
It's in somebody else's?
No. There is no.
There is none?
There's none.
Annetta South doesn't have a water distribution system. They lean on Annetta.
Okay. So the properties to the north are totally relying on groundwater?
Correct.
Which as they are, I think they're primarily ranch or large.
Yep.
Be that as it may, under day, the water belongs to them, correct? Okay.
Water belongs under the property. Yep.
Yes. Well, we're operating under the theory under CCN. It's for the common good of everybody within the CCN. But this is above and beyond that. Doug, are you comfortable with 80 gallons a minute on both of these wells or...
You know, I'd feel better if they both met spacing. Makes it a lot easier. I'm not as concerned with the wells in the area just because, I mean, all those wells are drilled into the Paluxy. But, you know, we do, you know, it is very, fairly lenient, allowing a city or a utility to utilize their CCN as the property boundary, especially one that's 7,000 something acres. It would be nice if it met the spacing, if it was a couple hundred feet more off that line.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to draw it, but the 032 well, that's based on setback and spacing at 80 gallons a minute. And as we can see how much of the theoretical cone of depression is beyond their CCN. If it drops to 40 gallons a minute, that gets very close to what their CCN is.
Correct. The center of the road right there is about 200, 225 feet from the proposed location. For 40 gallons a minute, the well spacing is required property line spacing is 250. So it's pretty close.
Pretty close.
As if we go up a page or two, I think overall the site is just a little clearer.
Okay. Yeah,
that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you can see, Tracy, that property to the north, if they're overlapping, is still predominantly farm or ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other thing we can see here is on both sides, we have a lot of straws going into the Biloxi. And what are we looking at here? Are we looking at 1-acre lots?
Yeah, those are older subdivisions that were platted prior to 2009, and so they're 1-acre lots.
This one is also going to be proposed 1 acre?
I believe it is 1-acre lots, yes, sir. Give or take, but yeah.
They could come back and do the 2-acre water lots and share a well between each one and have a lot more straws in the ground.
No, I know, but they're not going to have that many straws down on the Twin Mountains. They'll do it in Biloxi. Anybody else have any questions?
I do. Does the city have any proposal to connect this system to the rest of their system?
I do believe they have long-term plans, at least based on discussions. They do have plans at some point in time to connect. I don't think it's immediate, but I do think long-term they do have plans to connect this.
Because the fire station's across
the street. Right across the street. Yep, DSD is.
And that's on there.
I'm sorry, this is Grant Reed. I'm with the development team that's developing that. There are plans to connect that to the existing above ground storage right across the road there.
We have a time frame on that?
It's all part of the plans, the construction plans with the city. It'll all be incorporated in.
So what I'm hearing is when these wells are drilled and the system's put in, it will be connected at that time?
Correct. That is correct.
It goes from wells to ground storage, from ground storage.
It'll go from the wells to ground storage, from ground storage across. They'll be right to their elevated tank, which is just right on the north side of FM5, right by Town Hall there.
This is only to whatever we use to replace.
Does that make sense?
It does. I think, you know, Tracy, my perspective on it is if we can get interconnected system, that means someday if we can ever get them to go to surface, we can turn off. These wells can be turned off and they can have all surface water. Whereas the guys to the east and west are on Biloxi, it's going to be hard to ever get them on surface water.
Anybody else have any questions? Any other comments from the public?
I don't see any, sir.
You've heard the general manager's recommendation. What's the board's pleasure?
Are we requesting or can we request the gamma log and the other three items that we normally do?
Yes, they're having.
Yes.
They're asking for.
I would say that I did. I forgot. I failed to put any geophysical logs on there. The other stuff, we do have TCEQ approval. The driller has signed the application. So those are the other two things we request. The last being well monitoring agreement. So I would add well monitoring and provide us with a log of both holes once they're done. Geophysical logs, he lines.
So move.
Okay.
We approve this with the pre-stated requirements.
Got a second for Director Watts. Any further discussion?
Oh, and we're doing $32
million? Correct.
$32
million. And just to be clear, and I look at what they pump on an annual basis, and between that and their HUP, it's more than what they're pumping. Just so the board knows, and I've tried to explain this to multiple engineers and applicants, is the way our rules are set up is, you know, when you've got this huge pot that you could be eligible for under an operating permit, you know, you come and get it as you need it, not come in all at once and apply for it all at once with no real plans of needing it all at that time.
Well, I think what you put in our packet was our rules say it can't be speculative.
Exactly.
What you actually need.
Exactly.
And as you also said, if they do need more, it's available to them to come and ask.
Yep. And it's a pretty simple process to amend the operating permit.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm hey, Tracy, I need to abstain from this one.
Jared's abstaining.
And I'm abstaining. I was not here for all of the discussion.
Does that give you five?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
We've got two extensions.
One, two, three, four. Yeah. Okay. We've got seven. We have seven here. Brent's the only one not here. Motion passes 5-0-2.
Gotcha.
And I show the public hearing closed at 5:19. Okay. Consent agenda, which includes normal and customary items before the board, non-controversial items, including minutes from the public hearing and board meeting of February 28th, approval of bank statement ending February 28th, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through today, reimbursement for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through today, and approval of requests for extension applications through March 21st. Anybody need anything pulled off the consent agenda for discussion?
I've got an expense report for Director Micah for $77.22 to add.
$77.22?
Correct.
If not, Chair, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Nobody get in a hurry.
Yeah, motion.
Motion by Director Reynolds. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Nave. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. No items were pulled from the agenda, so item two is moot. Item number three, consider authorizing the general manager to take all necessary action as directed by the board, including the expenditure of district funds, pursue and possibly execute a contract on behalf of the district for the following: A, construction of additional covered parking spaces for the district office, and B, paving of the entryway at the front of the district office. Doug?
Yes, sir. Had this item on there last month. Kind of got the see here over on this side for additional covered parking and then paving of the driveway. Last month, the board authorized me to seek bids for the covered parking, and then also to seek bids for the driveway. For the driveway, they asked Brent added in to get multiple, actually to see what costs would be to do just the entryway, to do, you know, up to the shop, to do up the whole, to do everything. At this time, I have not received any responses. I do know a couple folks are working on getting us some quotes, some bids, but I have not seen anything yet. So at that, it's, you know, we can wait till we get some bids, bring it back to the board. You could assign it to a committee. I'm indifferent as to how y'all want to go about doing this. I'm whatever you guys want to do. I did point out on here, once we do select a contract and get, or select a contractor and get under contract, I will bring an item to amend the budget, move money from assigned funds into the actual budget to cover this stuff. But as far as how we go about doing it, whatever you guys want to do, I'm open to.
What's the board's pleasure on this?
I think we need to continue.
Let him bring it back to the board next month?
With the bids.
With any, whatever quotes he receives?
Yes.
Okay. You're in the same situation on the car cover parking too, aren't you?
Yep. I hadn't received bids for either, any of them.
Okay. Because the only other alternative I could think of is assigned to the finance committee, but we might as well bring it back to the board next month. If we'd all like to see the numbers before we commit.
Yep.
Does that work for everybody? I don't believe we need to take action, do we?
No, we don't.
Okay.
With Mark Cantrell, do we bail out to 1058? Or?
I did. I've talked to him, and I was actually telling Tim earlier, I'll submit the application once we get some. I don't want it to expire, so I'll submit the application.
Good for 6 months.
I thought it was just like 6 weeks, something like that. Maybe it is 6 months. But even at 6 months, I'd be concerned about it. At this pace, I'd be concerned with it expiring. Once we make a selection, I'll submit an application.
All right.
I just know how things are moving very slow right now.
So we'll table item three for next month, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Item four, discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules and take necessary actions. Exempt wells, well ID 14299 at 135 Private Road, 4537 Decatur, Texas, Wise County, by Cordelia Holcomb. And Ms. Holcomb is here as well. Doug?
Yes, sir. I think this was it's one we kind of found by accident. Jay was actually working on some stuff for potential operating permits from Aqua Texas, and he noticed this. Well ID 14299 was submitted to the district in October of 2020. That's a 7.02 acre lot. There was a previous well that was approved and drilled in 2017. And you can't really see in the image here, but back to the west, there's a house. So Leisha actually called Ms. Holcomb when we got the application and, basically inquired as to the purpose of the second well. At that time, Leisha was told, and she made notes in our database, time stamped on the 8th, October 8th, when she spoke with Ms. Holcomb. And Leisha was told that there would be a family gathering place down at the pond, and that's what it would be used for. Under that understanding, well ID 14299 was approved on October 9th. After, again, Jay found this and we started doing some digging, it looked like October 21st, a one-acre tract was surveyed off and sold and deeded off to someone else surrounding that well. What you'll see, and I've got another image of it in a second, but this is the 1 acre around here. The same people that own this actually own this half acre right here. So they actually own 1.5 acres right here. So just so you know, District Rule 4.3E goes into talking about once a well is approved under district rules, you must maintain the tract size, the acreage, you must maintain the property line spacing, all that stuff. If you don't, the board could require that the amount of groundwater be reduced from the well, the maximum design production capacity be reduced, or the required well require the well to be plugged. So it is our belief, I would assume that this may be family members of some sort that they sold this property to, and I believe they're related to the folks that own the 7 acre lot to the north as well. My recommendation would be, rather than plugging the well, would be to require Ms. Holcomb, as a landowner of the larger tract that deeded this off, to deed them an additional half acre, either a full-on half acre or a half acre of groundwater rights. They could do that. They could come in and have a surveyor survey off a half acre right here, just of groundwater rights. So it'd just be the subsurface, kind of like mineral rights, so that there is 2 acres or 2 acres of groundwater rights associated with the well. That's my recommendation. I would offer, obviously a violation's occurred. So my recommendation is a settlement in lieu of litigation with a first major violation, a $250 penalty, and the requirement that they deed an additional half acre, either of surface and groundwater or just the groundwater estate, so that there are 2 acres associated with the well.
And that it be accepted by May 31st.
Correct, with a deadline of May 31st. And the reason I think this is important is the precedent this would set if you allowed somebody to just drill a well on a larger tract and then let them cut off a smaller tract less than 2 acres around it. And I'm happy to answer any questions from the board.
Reminder for the
can we put a restriction on the
just a second, Don. Just a reminder for the public, the reason for the 2 acres is that's our scientific basis that you need 2 acres to have sufficient water to provide for a domestic and livestock well. Anything less than that, you're taking somebody else's water. So,
and I do understand, this is a kind of a very likely a family type situation, but again, it goes back to the precedent it sets, right? If they cut it off and, you allow this to happen, it's hard to let it pass for somebody else doing it.
And for the board to see edification, prior to us adopting the permanent rules, we had 3 or 4 instances like this happen in Montague County that did not know about till it showed up on the tax rolls.
They were
1 acre tracts.
We had a developer try to do it in Parker County several years ago.
Don, you were wanting to.
I want to know if we approve this,
Can we give them a time frame in which all this needs to be done?
He has that from May 31st. Accept the offer.
I didn't hear that.
Yes. Yeah.
So okay. Acceptance of the offer, not
not completion of it.
Well, it does say settle and comply.
Yes, I said accept and comply by May 31st.
Doug, for clarification's sake, did you say they could convey the subsurface and not
the just the groundwater state? Yes, you can sever groundwater states just the same way you can mineral rights.
Okay. But couldn't you then convey the subsurface and make 2 acres and then convey the surface someplace else and circumvent the rules that way?
The 2 acres has to, the 2 acres of groundwater rights have to be surrounding the well.
Yes, but still you're allowing 2 conveyances. If you bifurcate the surface from the subsurface,
mm-hmm.
this identical problem could arise twice, and you could cure it both times by one time conveying subsurface and the second time conveying surface.
The surface that you, that if you, you conveyed that surface, it doesn't have any water rights under it.
You sever the groundwater rights.
It's as if you have no mineral rights.
In the rules, does it say? What's your
So in multiple conversations with our attorney about groundwater rights, yes, it is allowable because we talk about 2 acres of groundwater rights around the area.
We've actually had that happen up on Lake Nocono. Someone had to go get an acre of water rights to be able to meet the county requirements.
I think so.
Yeah, on the west side. And I know the Hawkins are here. I'm waiting for the board to finish. Anybody, any other questions from the board? Ms. Holcomb or Mr. Holcomb, either one. I mean,
I'm the one who bought the property. This is my mother-in-law.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's my brother-in-law that lives on the other one. And originally, they were going to use it for cattle. And then it just didn't. And we needed a place to stay. So we ended up buying it.
Yeah.
So when we walked it out, we had thought we'd walk out 2 acres. But when it came back, it's actually 1.69. What it showed on my tax roll, or 1.65. But we plan on making that.
Okay.
Yeah, we were trying to circumvent the system. Yeah.
Well, we have had some try to circumvent us.
Yeah. Before. No, and as I mentioned, I thought it was between family and
gazebo down there, and then we were also going to put cattle down there, but it
didn't work.
Everything happened at one time, and this was the easier way to have my kids.
Yeah. I understand. It just needed to be in 2 acre tracks. We'll bring the kids home, get them far enough away, but close.
I should be giving them a little bit extra for movement.
You're braver than I. You're braver than I am. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Any other questions from the board? The board's heard the general manager's recommendation. Chair to entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion as presented.
Okay. Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second, Director English. Do you have any further discussion? Need any clarification?
Yeah.
You need one or you got one?
I've got one.
Okay. All right. All in favor say aye. 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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug, item B, potential rule violations of non-exempt wells in Parker County by Borland Estates, WSC, by Rio Brazos, WSC, and in Hood County by Roland Hills, WSC, and in Hood County by Sky Harbor, WSC. Doug?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
So, welcome. This is related to the reporting period from July 1st through through December 31st of last year. Of course, those reports were due on January 31st. As of right now, there are 4 systems that have not submitted reports. All 4 of those systems are operated, managed, and operated by the same individual, formerly a company. And we have been in contact with them. I'll put it this way. We go above and beyond. You know, there's no requirement by district staff to reach out and follow up. Folks are supposed to know the rules, but we do. And I have staff follow up multiple times. I would note that this is a repeat offender. I would say they're late every year. Typically, we just apply a late fee penalty and go on down the road. But at some point, and Tracy and you and I have discussed, at some point when you have a repeat offender, if you don't slap them a little bit on the wrist, you know, they just don't get the idea. They don't take us very seriously. So we've got these four systems that still have not reported. I would note that beginning on late January, early February, we started notifying the owners of the system as well as the manager, system operator. So they were due on 31st. Late penalties don't even kick in until March 1st. On January 27th, February 10th, February 17th, and March 3rd, they were formally reminded via email, the operator and the owner, that they were due dates were approaching and then they were late. At one point in time in February, the operator literally sent an email, said, sorry for the late response. I'll call you, give you details, but I'll send the reports this afternoon. Never heard back. So because of all that, and I've got in here, District Rule 2.1 states the deadlines, you know, January 31st and July 31st. Appendix D states that both failure to submit groundwater report when it's due and failure to submit groundwater use fees when they're due are also major violations. You say 60 days for the fee, and you'll see my recommendation in a minute. That kicks into the second part of it. So based on all of that, I would recommend that the board offer a settlement in lieu of litigation for these four systems. That includes the first major violation of district rules, a $250 penalty fee, and a late penalty of the 10%. These are all outlined in the district rules. And have that due, that expire on April 1st. In other words, you know, we've been poking them for months now, and they still haven't got to us. Give them a little bit longer with a fairly minor penalty. If they don't get everything to us by April 1st, then my recommendation is an updated settlement that includes a first major violation for failure to report on time, $250 penalty, a second major violation for failure to submit groundwater use fees on time, a $500 penalty, and a late payment penalty of 50% of the total amount due to the district. That would be my recommendation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Doug, do you have any idea the approximate value? They haven't reported, so we don't know, but we have a history.
Typically, one of the lowest one is right around $1,000 a period, and the highest is right around $4,000. Isn't that right? What you saw the other day, Jay?
Yeah, about $600.
Okay.
And with this, we have first major violation. The max is $1,000.
Correct.
Right. This $250 is per system?
That's $250 for each of them, yes. I mean, so this would be a settlement for each of the four.
We could potentially, for each first major violation, up to $1,000.
Correct.
And for each second major violation,
up to $5,000. Correct.
I personally am more in favor of doubling those amounts, what you've got in your recommendation.
$500 and $1,000.
Yep.
So, Doug?
Simply because if we don't get some attention, then sooner or later staff's going to be spending a lot of their time chasing more of these.
And Tracy, you and I have discussed this. It's ridiculous the amount of time we have to spend following up with some of these folks.
Do we have to follow up with them to this extent last July or last January?
Basically every 6 months with these particular ones.
How many times
have we
had to do?
Have they been on time before?
They used slightly. I mean, reports would be due like the 31st. There'd be a couple days after that.
The last few years, they've gotten pretty bad.
Last couple of years,
Only recently have they gotten as bad. Okay. I mean, last reporting period, it took a lot of.
One of the reasons I'm saying this, because I called Doug on a different matter Friday, and he made the mistake of telling me that. And our staff is salaried, but it seems like the workload is picked up where they're all putting in extra hours. This is unnecessary workload.
Yeah.
So
this is something the board has to take care of.
So previously, we've just charged them a 10% fee in the past.
Yeah.
So this truly isn't the first violation.
We haven't written, the board has not taken action.
This is the first violation we've called them on.
Correct. We've always historically tried to be lenient, not be overly, you know, heavy-handed, but and it's really kind of come around. You know, most folks report on time. It's just, I told Kyle we're spending way too much time, and from here on, we're putting them on the agenda.
I think with this, I would double the 250 and the 500 on the option one and option two.
Okay.
That would be
where. Is that your motion?
That'd be my motion.
Do I hear a second?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that motion?
It's going to adopt what Doug has recommended, except doubling the amounts in here. Instead of 250, make it 500. Instead of 500, make it 1,000.
Gotcha.
We're still well under what what the top is for each one of those.
Right. I just want to make sure I heard what the final one was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
You'll second it. Have a motion by Shannon and a second by Richard. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number five, discussion regarding potential project to drill a monitoring well on property owned by Parker County SUD and take necessary action.
Yes, sir. I've talked briefly. I put this in my general manager report a couple times, and I've talked briefly about this, and I actually talked to Jared about this. He called the other day about something, and I just wanted to pick his brain because I thought he had some thoughts on it. Been in discussion with Dakota, who I believe is on the line. He's general manager at Parker County SUD. They had some interest in possibly allowing us or giving us an easement to drill a monitoring well on our property, but they really want to do something similar to what we did on the east side of Lake Nakona, kind of drill an exploratory well. They're curious about the cross timbers, so the strong formation below the Trinity. You know, they operate an RO facility for their water out of the Brazos, so they've got treatment facility, so they could possibly treat the water depending on how salty it is. And they've got obviously a growing demand. If you know anything about Parker County and their service area, I think is like Dakota's online, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think their CCN is like 40,000 acres, and it's the Brock area, the really fast growing part of the county. So the idea would be is there at their treatment plant there on the just north of the river would be to drill a test hole, you know, drill, you know, 1,000+ feet, see what we find, complete it, and it turned into a long-term monitoring well for us. And depending on the outcome, you know, they might pursue drilling a deeper well and, you know, getting permitted to pump out of the cross timbers, which even with the allocation of cross timbers as it is under their CCN boundary, they can get plenty of water. And my thinking is, you know, anytime you can identify a source of water, especially if it's a brackish source of water that will offset the use of the fresh groundwater, I think you're doing a service to the people in the area that depend on the fresh water. So that's my thinking. Obviously, you know, it'd be from a little bit selfish standpoint from some of staff and some of us, it's really interesting to see, right? To see what's down there and see how much water they can find and what the TDS is of that water and how usable it can be.
We drilled the Oak Shores well, 2 years ago? We went 800 feet, 820. What was that cost on that? Do you remember roughly?
It was 80, 85 grand for the project.
In 2 years increase, that's probably a $100,000 project now.
Remember, that's the one, Tim, that we went in with a small bit, 7.5 hole, logged it, and we ended up plugging back, and then they ended up plugging back the bottom of it, and then they went in and bored it out to a larger bore hole, and we completed it.
Plugged back to a completion zone.
Yeah, you and I, because I remember when we were doing it, you and I talked quite a bit about how to do it, because it was your idea to go in with the smaller hole to begin with, like, and then log it.
Sound about right? I'm just trying to get the board a little bit of a cost estimate, and this is going to be 40% or 25% deeper probably. Yeah. But
would this well be ever used?
No.
Now,
It would be our monitor well.
It'd be our well, our monitoring well.
Correct.
Would any time come up where, since the well is there, the individuals would say, hey, I've got a well here. No. I will start using it.
No. No, we would be granted an easement that gives us basically a permanent right to that.
Should we write in there that it will be a...
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, it's our well. Yeah, it's not equipped. There's no pump in it. I mean, it's...
Just say 135 to 150.
I just want to make sure legalese that...
Yeah.
They'd have to come back to us to request use of...
In all likelihood, that well in Oak Shores was PVC, wasn't it?
Or did we no, it was Blaine. Was that steel cased? I'm not. It was steel cased.
Steel cased.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. I was looking at the logs of close by, and I can see the crossovers going down. I can see the lenses. I guess my question is, and I don't know the answer to this. This would be Tim's question for Tim is. If we're trying to find a source and we're kind of going through those lenses, is there a way that you can sample and get water quality samples on your way down?
Yeah, there is a way. There's actually two ways. One would be called the drill stem test, and then Halliburton actually has a tool that has arms on it that push out on the formation and extract fluid. Now, the availability of that tool in today's time may be questionable.
Yeah.
There is going to be certain set of specifications that go along with that minimum diameter.
Okay.
But then I don't know what the plus minus percentage is of cross-contamination things along that.
I don't either. I've never been really successful at, you know, as you're looking at different lenses, being able to isolate them and know, because if you're looking for a source of water, you want to know, hey, this one's good, this one's bad, this one.
Yeah, you know, if you want to get real fancy, Barton Springs, Edwards Aquifer Groundwater Conservation District, they've got a super fancy monitoring well where they can shut off. It's got multiple packs and screens,
yeah,
and they can shut off and isolate which one they're drawing water out of. They pump the hole empty, close them off, open one up.
Sounds expensive.
They spent quite a bit of money on it. I don't know that we necessarily want to do that, but it is something that is out there.
And a question for the side, you know, what's the limit on the saline content that they can handle?
Right. And I think, you know, and Dakota and I have talked about that, and he's online if he wants to address that, but I think that's for them to find out and for them to address.
Well, and the reason I'm asking, I believe the Oak Shores one came back at 2,500.
Correct.
27, which I think the state threshold's 3.
Yeah.
That's it. And for that small system, it's actually doable if they can get the financing.
Well, there's RO at this system, isn't there?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless this is super, super saturated, they probably can be able to use if we find.
Correct.
So.
Dakota, do you have anything to add that I left out?
Just that we currently have a agreement with the BRA. So if it is too salty for us to treat directly, we could blend it in with our river water, which is roughly about 3,000 conductivity. And so, you know, we've been treating that for nearly the last decade successfully. And have been meeting all TCEQ requirements. So this, if we do move over and drill a deep water production well, we would roughly be looking for about a 250, 300 gallon a minute well, if the aquifer could provide that. I don't know that it can. Again, this monitoring well would hopefully answer a lot of our questions. So,
and obviously for Western Parker County, and while they're not in our district, for Eastern Palo Pinto County, that may become the primary water source.
Yeah. And as Jared and I were talking the other day, there's just not a whole lot of data, right?
Yeah. I've done studies in the Cross Timbers and exhausted everything I have. There's just nothing there other than what I can go gather up on my own.
So,
my own.
So just the data that, and you know, the state's working on the mathematical GAM for the cross timber. So this would be good data for them. I mean, we could do some pump tests, some drawdown recovery, all that stuff. But any data you get out of the cross timbers right now is, I mean, it's gravy, right? So my recommendation would be to authorize me to work with the well monitoring committee to expend the funds to complete this project.
Want to cap on that?
If y'all would like to put one on it, I'm happy to oblige.
We held it at 150. You want to go 175 just to cover yourself?
I'd say 150 since it's experimental. Okay. You know, from whatever they get in and find, they may need to do.
Yep.
The 150 is going to get us there, kind of a hypothetical number. But
okay.
It's not formation testing or just evaluating the formations involved, or whatever is time intensive under a cost intensive.
Correct.
Well, I heard the number of about 1,000.
So 1,000 was a rough number. Models, of course, the models for the cross timbers aren't super great. Estimate bottom of the strawn about 1,400. So depending on how deep you wanted to go, you know.
Well, that was based on that.
Yeah. And that was originally what we talked about, and then we'd done some digging. So maybe worthwhile to go a little bit deeper, but.
There's some logs around there on the RACS database.
Yep.
So we can get a pretty good idea.
That was the thinking, is we do some real digging, looking at logs, and then get a real good idea before we start, you know, getting quotes. You know, say, hey, we found all these logs. We think we want to go to 1,200. We think we want to go to, you know, whatever. And obviously, you know, when you're drilling, you may decide not to go so that deep. Or, I mean, if you're in the middle of some really good sands, you get to 1,200 feet and you're in the middle of some really good sands, you may want to keep going, you know.
So the geologists are going to draw a set of specifications, more or less guidelines.
Correct. Yep.
We are the owner. I need to ask one other question. Since it's a monitoring well and it's our well, and you're going to ask for, are we going to have any kind of special legalese documents if the property's ever sold? So we'll be able to get on the property, or it'll be in the survey?
So it would all be in the easement. So we've done 1, 2, 3.
I mean, only thing I want to do is make sure our T's are crossed. In other words, I can foresee somebody buying the property and then all of a sudden shoot these guys because they're out there messing around on a well.
So as I was saying, we've done several of these in the past, and we have an easement drawn up that Brian has reviewed that is a easement that goes on forever and ever and ever until we decide we don't want it anymore, and it grants us the ingress, egress, grants us the right to drill the well there and maintain the existence of the well there, and then grants us ingress and egress to that property. So yeah,
making sure there's a fence and everything else, gate, yep. Key to the gate and the whole nine yards.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else on board? General manager's recommendation, suggestion, we set it at 150,000. Chair would entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Jared. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Watts. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Pardon me. Breathed too much smoke yesterday. Discussion regarding the possible creation of one or more new committees to consider the following: one, creation of an annual rainwater harvesting grant program, and two, creation of a program to support the ongoing efforts of public water supply systems to conserve groundwater through engineering studies, water loss audits, or system rehabilitation, etc. I wish Brent was here because I guess it was last meeting, he cornered you and I and brought this up. We've done two large rainwater recapture systems in Wise and Parker County. And Brent mentioned that on a smaller scale, that would be beneficial to some of our rural fire departments where they need to have storage, and you can't fill up a 1,000-gallon or 3,000-gallon tanker very quickly at 17 gallons a minute. As a possible grants, the scope specifically for emergency services and or school systems. We've got several small school systems that are on groundwater. Design these aimed at, for the conservation of groundwater, providing rainwater as an alternative water source, and do it as a grant. Instead of trying to sit here and try and flesh all this out here, do like we have before, a committee with one member from each county, sit down, write out the broad strokes, get Brian and Doug to get the legalese set up, keep it narrow scope. The aim is conservation of groundwater. And then obviously, anytime we can provide an alternative source that replaces use of groundwater, we're ahead and do that. That's one. Have I missed anything in there?
No, before you jump off, I was talking to Don earlier, and you know, what I see is us basically adopting an annual grant program,
yeah,
right? With parameters, we're going to open up for applications on this date. We're going to close applications on this date. We're going to judge, you know, the applications based on this criteria. Just a very formulaic kind of
have a set amount of budget for the year for that.
Exactly. And I think, you know, rather than going out and picking and choosing or trying to, you know, find somebody, if we just had a program that we opened up every year, people apply for it, and we go through, and if you didn't get the grant this year, then apply next year. And hopefully, you know, I think this could be fairly successful and get a lot of, you know, good publicity for the district while also, you know, really helping folks understand that capturing rainwater can be very useful for non-potable and even for potable uses in some cases, but definitely for outdoor use and for fire use. And then also just, you know, it's a great way to conserve. You know, if you've got a school that's using a ton of groundwater to irrigate, you know, fields, or if you got, you know, fire departments that are depending on a little well out somewhere, if they can put a huge storage tank and fill it up with rainwater, and I mean, you could potentially save a decent amount of groundwater over time when you start adding these projects up. So
that's one. The other one was, we have some public water supplies that are governmental entities that have challenges in front of them as in their aging infrastructure and not enough cash on hand to hire the engineers to do the studies they need, which you have to have before you can go get the state grants, the state funds. And this would probably be more of a loan forgivable grant format that I'm going to throw St. Joe under the bus, but they have a considerable line loss issue in their system. And I've talked to the mayor pro tem, because I don't know if the mayor is still around or not. Have you heard from yesterday?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, they don't have the funds to hire the engineer to do the comprehensive study, but their line losses are probably in excess of 30%. And they're a groundwater system. So if we can provide the funds for them to get the study so they can go get the state money to upgrade their system, which is now 100 years old, if we save groundwater.
Yep.
But that needs to be separate parameters and separate requirements. And that's the two things.
Agreed. And there's going to be some decent, you know, lengthy conversations with Brian discussing what we can and can't do legally. But it's a, you know, Tracy, like you said, brought this up a while back. And if we can do it, it's a great idea. You know, helping fund things like water loss audits, you know, just identifying where groundwater is being lost. I mean, that goes to conserving groundwater, right?
And we've got a number of small systems that are going to get caught in this as the growth continues to come through the district. So is the board interested in setting up a committee to look at this and bring something back to look at? Okay. Do I hear volunteers to serve on the committee?
I'll volunteer, because I think it's going to be a good PR program for us, because we've got a group of individuals that don't like to pay the $600 to get a well, and then ask, what are we doing and what are we spending the money for? And if they looked at our bank account, they'll say, what are you doing with your money? And this way here, it's a good PR.
Yeah.
Plus, when we put it, we can put a sign Upper Trinity sponsored by on it.
No, and I'd encourage you guys to go look. And Don, I don't know if you've seen. I think they've got at least the decal up. What we do at each of these, the two rainwater projects we funded, we've got our big logo on the big tank, and then we put up a sign in the area that's just got a bunch of information about capturing rainwater and how much you can capture. And
the fires that we've had in the area, it probably would be beneficial for the fire department.
Well, Brent was talking about it on the emergency service districts in the area. That something we need to look into. So, who else wants to volunteer? Shannon? Do you want to, or I will?
You will.
Okay.
I'll take it.
It's up to you, whatever. All right. We'll do that. But, you know, in hopefully by midsummer, we can come back to the board with something on that. The other thing is, everybody is well aware, you know, Doug horrendously underestimated our new well registration revenue last year. You know, he's not good at financial forecasting, but it's our benefit, not our detriment. So we're going to, you know, each year we can wind up having some funds we can allocate to these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, when you hear in a minute, he missed this year too. I'm going to say quarter in, he's already off base. But
I was hoping it would slow down some.
Oh, it did for January, February, and then you bit in the last 10 days.
Actually, January and February seemed slower, but they were on pace for January and February of last year. I think above January and February of last year.
I know. Item number 7, management report, Doug.
I do not have anything just jumping out under my manager's report other than what Tracy was talking about. I just point out, and I think I gave him the number a second ago, as of today.
Let me go where what you had before, because I've got it on the back here.
Since March 1st.
Well, we came out of February. Through February last year, we'd had 269 new wells registered. February 28th, we had 300. This month through today, 234 new well applications, which breaks the record, 1 month record, 205, and 30 more that haven't paid their fees yet. So that's basically 264. So
this is this month?
That's for
this month.
That's for basically 21 days.
First three weeks. And
when,
you know, Hood County slowed down a little bit. Wise County actually slowed down a little bit before this month. Montague was 73% over last year, and those subdivisions haven't shown up yet.
Yeah. So no, we're just starting to see a few pop up in them.
So staff is very busy.
Yeah, I can't say enough about these guys. It's insane. I mean, Jenny's, I mean, she just kind of laughs and smiles when I ask her every morning how many applications she getting yesterday. She's entering them as fast as she can, and her list of what she needs to enter doesn't get any shorter.
And I know we've added two more field techs. We're just now getting them spun up good, I'm sure, at this point. But I'm going to ask Richard, as chair of the personnel committee, to watch with you. You know, we don't need to burn these people out. They pretty well work hard all day long. And this workload's, it doesn't appear to be slowing down.
I mean,
what is the turnaround from well application, well registration?
We get them. We get them in-house and funded. We either get them approved or let you know we need this, this, or this within 5 days. If we've got everything we need, I mean, they're in and out in 5 days. But most of them,
need something?
Yeah, or many things. I mean, a good many of them need a lot of things.
And that's additional staff time to chase that.
I mean, a lot of it's, you know, you get an application in and you put the coordinates in, and the coordinates are 15 foot off the property line. Well, you can ask for new coordinates. They're just going to send you something else, or the coordinates are in the other side of the county, or the coordinates are on the lot next door. And there's a lot of going out and checking.
You haven't had any go to Afghanistan yet? We did the first year. Don't laugh.
I guess sometimes if they forget the negative number, we usually catch that. Sometimes you figure it out because it's a 32 instead of a 33, and you're like, this is supposed to be in Wise County or Monte County, and it's showing up in Hood.
So I'm going to ask Richard, he's chair of the personnel committee, to kind of help keep an eye on that. You know, I presume staff would help if we get additional staff at some point may be necessary. But we need to watch that. Two other things, just to update for the board, the questions came up last month. So three wells for the Highway 82 project up there. We have a monitoring agreement with the construction company. Really, the landowner can't give us an agreement until he gets possession of the well, right? I've got one of the well owners who's agreed to that. I haven't talked to the other one yet on the other two. And one other thing came up, was handed to me, and Doug kind of said, hold on a second. I have a rural fire department that was opening a new station on, and it's less than 2 acres, but it was previously platted like 1998.
I think it's 91, actually.
91? Yeah, 91. It was 30 years ago. They wanted us to waive the new well registration fee, but we've had 6 other fire departments pay the fee. Any reason to bring that before the board, or do you think the precedent's already been set?
I don't know. Do they need a rainwater harvesting?
I'm going to get with him that, but he was up all last night with a 600-acre fire. So, yes, they're going to get one.
They have that, and they have some potable water. They don't need a well.
I'm hearing what you're saying.
I think it would be easy enough just to put a policy together saying, okay, here we are now. It's board approved, and just move forward on along those lines going forward.
You want the staff to design a policy for that and bring it back?
Yeah, just something short and sweet, basically describing, you know, if you're nonprofit or wherever you want to set the parameters, and then and it could be specific to emergency services.
We could have done emergency services, but we've had 6 already paid.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, and my concern is just staff time, right? I mean,
how much is the
fee? It's a $600 fee, which covers. I mean, look, it's Monte County. We're probably gonna have to go up there. I mean, in staff time,
yes, you'll have to go up
there. It's Monte. We'll have to go up there. You know, obviously, it's the precedent of setting, you know, waiving that fee is. From a district management standpoint, it's not most ideal. I understand it, but
I think
if this is what y'all want to do, we'll do it.
It could be opening a Pandora's box.
That was my concern.
And that's, I mean, if we had thought about this originally, back when Representative King had us do what he did on the other stuff,
with on the
services, if that had been wrapped in together at the start and the get-go, it would have been different.
Yeah.
But I think that horse is already out of the barn. So, I mean, we can get a policy together if we want to, but I think we're there. Okay.
The grant committee could give them a grant for $600.
He's going to be okay. Yeah, I may have to buy him supper, but that's all right. No budget amendments or anything on expenditures?
Not this month. Gas prices don't change. We'll probably have to put them in that line item.
You're going to try to get a steam engine automobile.
Hey, I'll drive it.
Is that going to be coal powered?
Right. You're going to have somebody shoveling the coal.
We're going to put their wood in the back of the pickup.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ryan, do you have anything for us?
Yes, sir. Just one. Hold on. Let me figure out how to show you my beautiful face. There you go. the only thing that's really happened, that Doug hasn't mentioned, since last month's board meeting was the Speaker of the House issued the, interim charges to the committees, and the Natural Resources Committee got a number of groundwater district related charges. consider legislation to promote achievement of desired future conditions, looking for more transparency in the permit application process, apparently calling into question the definition of waste, water quality protection efforts from abandoned deteriorated wells and orphaned oil and gas wells, and impacts of large-scale water transfers to groundwater resources. So we can expect the committee to be doing a bunch of stuff that we'll have to pay attention to over the interim. But that's all I have.
I'll show our next meeting is April 18th here at our district offices. Anybody has anything we need to add to the agenda, let Doug or myself know and we'll get it on there. And if not, I show we're adjourned at 6:09. Didn't quite make an hour. I'm sorry. Thank you, everyone.